Today we are going to talk about or study together about God's plan in our lives. This is a topic that kind of been in my mind for a long time, well before I knew that I'm going to preach, I was going to preach. So I started to research this topic, and now I would like to share the result with you, what I found in the Bible about this. Okay. God's plan. Does God have a plan in our lives or not? We talk about God's plan a lot, and I would like to kind of make you think about this situation. Sometimes we can hear that, yes, God has a plan in our lives and He planned out everything. We have to find the right spouse, we have to find the right job, and so on. The right career, and so on. Other times there are messages we can hear that says that no, it doesn't work like that, because God has a corporate plan in our lives, and it's not necessarily our everyday life. So, if God has a plan, we need to look at to what extent God plans out our lives. And first of all, what I found, and this is very important, that the Bible does teach us about this topic. The Bible does teach us that God knows about us. Yeah, we can find many Bible verses in the Old Testament and many Bible verses in the New Testament. I chose only one for each. So if you look at one from the Old Testament, so from Psalm 139, it says that you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. So it suggests that God actually knows us, knows our thoughts, knows whatever we do. If you look at what the Bible teaches in the New Testament, it's more or less the same, with different words. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground, apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Some of us have more, others less. And it's just kind of scary to think that actually our hair is all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. That's the Bible in Matthew 10:29-31. And another Bible verse also suggests this. It says in John 10:14 that I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Again, we found Bible verses that proves that God knows about us, and we can't really hide from God, because wherever we go to, God knows where are we and what we are doing. Then let's move on to the second part, which is about God's plan. I do believe that God has a plan for us. So again, I found a few Bible verses, and I would like you to help me with this a little bit, to read it out, because we need to examine what the Bible actually says about God's plan for us. So the first one, any volunteer, please?
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Okay, brilliant. One of my favorites, favorite verses in the Bible. Second one, again, a volunteer, please.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations.
Okay, so sometimes God appoints people for certain tasks, even from the womb. Yeah, so it does suggest that God has a plan for us. Okay, another volunteer, please.
When God, who sent me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles.
Thank you. Please notice it. Please notice it that this is from the New Testament. Yeah, Galatians. Okay. One more. Actually, we have two more verses. Again, a volunteer, please, the next one.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Know your ways of everything, and you will make straight your path.
Okay. So again, the Bible teaches that He will make straight your path. If we acknowledge Him, He will actually lead us. And the last one.
What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him.
Okay, thank you. So there are many more verses, they are just a few chosen ones here. But if we read these verses, we realize that yes, God does have a plan for us. But we need to examine what do all these Bible verses actually mean. What kind of plan is that? So first of all, it means, or they mean, that God created us, therefore He knows us more than anyone else. Yeah? Second, that He has a plan for us, for human beings, for us, that He has a plan. And even He looks after the little birds, so he actually has a plan for the planet He created. And also, it means that He leads us if we wait for Him. Yeah, there is a condition here. And if you think about the Bible verses we just read, like, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your path. Okay, so He leads us if we wait for Him. So, does it mean that we have a set path and God takes away our choices? What about our free will? Okay, are we like a marionette puppet? Yeah, God's moving us and we just have to do what we have to do. So let's look at the topic of free will next. And we are talking about, if you look at the picture at the top, it says that if the Lord had wanted robots, He could have made everybody love Him. But He made people, made human beings, because He wanted us to love Him by our own choice, our free will. The Bible teaches us about free will as well, if you look at it. So the first one, and again, if anyone volunteers, I would be grateful for that, please.
I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive.
Thank you. So, wow, I have the right to do anything. Yeah? God doesn't take away my free will. I can do whatever I choose to do. But not everything is beneficial. Not everything is good for me or for others. Another Bible verse. Please volunteering, please.
You may, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free.
Okay, this is just part of a Bible verse, but it's important for us because, again, we are told that we are called to be free. We have the freedom, we have free will, yeah? Okay, next one, then I need a volunteer, please.
Anyone who chooses to do the will of God.
Okay, so is it not mandatory? You can choose to do the will of God, yeah? Important point. It's up to us. God calls us all, but it's up to us how we react, if we accept it or not. One more.
But if serving the Lord seems undeserved to you, then choose for yourself this day when you will serve.
Okay. So even when we talk about faith, Joshua said to the people, and that's what the Bible suggests to all of us, that if serving the Lord seems undesirable, fine, you don't have to. It's your choice. It's not what God actually forces us to do. It's very important to remember these ones, because all these verses prove that we do have free will. My conclusion is, when I look at all the evidence or the Bible verse, that although God knows everything about us, and has plans for our lives. He will allow us to practice our free will, which is very important. Therefore, I don't believe in predestination. Any of you who are not familiar, or anyone who is not familiar with the word, with the expression predestination, it just means that basically God created you and set a path for you, and then you just, you know, that's your fate. So I don't think that that's what those Bible verses mean, that we have a fate and then we just have to move according to that. Because God gave us free will, God gave us the freedom of choice, we can make decisions about our lives. But it is important, if we want to follow God, it's important to ask Him for guidance, it's important to use our free will that way, that would ask God for wisdom, ask God for helping us through life. And we are looking into the promise of guidance next. And basically there are Bible verses here, like for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. So the promise of guidance, that God would guide us if we ask Him for it. Yeah? Or if you look at this picture, again in Isaiah, it says that, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." So we don't have to do life completely alone. We can ask God for guidance. We can pray for wisdom. We can ask God when we are in a situation that we have to make important decisions. And God promised that He would guide us. How can we actually find God's guidance? How can we find answers in the Bible when we have a problem or when we need to find answers? There is a methodology that teaches us how to approach spiritual questions. And this is Wesley's quadrilateral, if you have heard of this method. And this is what we are going to look into first. So, according to this, when we have to approach spiritual questions, there are four elements to it, and you can see the diagram here. So, let's go through these parts. The first one, and the most important one, is the scripture. Yeah, that's the foundation. The rest will have to be built on this foundation. As you can see, that's the scripture, and all the others are built on the foundation. The second one, it's called tradition, but basically what we are talking about here is everything that we got from our forefathers, yeah, like teachings, hymns, songs, prayers, Christian art, devotional books, because we believe that as long as they are in line with the Bible's teachings, remember, that's the foundation here. That's also a very important point, that the Holy Spirit led our forefathers as well. And traditions that are based on the scripture are safe, yeah, and important. Then the next one is the reason, that's at the top. Because we have free will, it's very important that we would understand things. We don't have to take on anyone else's ideas without thinking it through. We need to learn to read the Bible, ask for wisdom, pay attention to the Holy Spirit, but we need to understand. Yeah, understanding is very important. And it's important to ask God when we come to church, listen to a sermon, or read the Bible. Important to us that the Holy Spirit would lead us to understanding, that we would actually understand the message. It is very important that we would use our own critical thinking to make sense of God's word. Yeah. And finally, the experience, that's number four. I don't have to tell you anything about experience, because you have experience yourself with God, and you know that our experience in the past will prepare us for today's situations, today's difficulties in our lives. Experience with God will strengthen our faith and will prepare us for the next difficult situation. In all of these things, it's very important that the Holy Spirit would lead us. The Holy Spirit would lead us when we read the scripture and understand it. The Holy Spirit would lead us when we actually understand traditions, whatever our forefathers had before. The reason, especially when we try to understand God's word, and that the Holy Spirit would remind us for our experience as well, when the time is there and it's difficult to find our way, or we are scared because something unexpected happens, and it's very important that the Holy Spirit would remind us our experience, what happened in the past, and how God helped us in the past. So, that's the basics, and this is basically, you can find the same principle or similar principles in many other resources in the Bible. Let's examine or many other resources in different books and so on. Let's examine one more, and that's called the five ways in which God guide us, the five CSs. Okay, so basically that's the same. So when we are looking for God's ways of guidance, the first CS is commanding scripture. Yeah, that's the Bible. We have to remember that God never guides his people contrary to his word. Yeah, it's very important that the clear principles in his written word, the Bible, has to be always in sight, and we have to remember that God never guides us against that. The second one, the compelling spirit, so that's the second CS, yeah, compelling spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. The third one, the council of the saints, basically CS here, but it basically just means the church. We are here as a family, and the way God arranged this, that we would help each other, we would support each other. So my strengths might be something that Richard's weakness, yeah, I can help him with that. Or the opposite is true as well, that Richard's strengths is my weakness. And if we are a family, then we can understand each other, we can talk to each other freely. And sometimes God actually gives advice to other people through us, or I get advice from other people, because that's the way God actually created us. We are. It's important that we wouldn't be isolated. We are supposed to talk to each other, because sometimes we can see God's guidance through the church. Okay. Common sense. That's basically the same as it was when we talked about reason in Wesley's quadrilateral. Common sense, we need to understand what we follow. We can't just follow something blindly. If it doesn't make sense, then we need to ask for guidance so that God would teach us and would understand it. Or if it doesn't make any sense at all, it might be wrong. So we need to kind of look into that. And we have one more, the circumstantial science, which is providence. Let's examine this guidance a little bit. God opens doors and closes doors, and that's how our circumstances are moving around. Situations change, and our circumstances change, and we can understand God's leading through that as well. You must have experience when God closed doors or opened doors for you in the past. And sometimes we just, in the situation that we don't have other choice, we just have to move. Yeah? Have you experienced something like that before? Yeah. It is very important that if we pray, if we ask for God guidance, then we would notice the situations as he opens something for us, or we accept if he closes something, yeah, because that's important as well. So The Bible says in Psalms 37:23, the Lord directs the step of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Mm. Yeah. So we can rest in that knowledge that God knows what is best for us. And He will direct us accordingly as He sees fit. Remember, God doesn't force us to do anything, but if we ask Him for His guidance using our free will, He's going to take the opportunity and He's going to lead us through things. Okay, so let's look at a few more Bible verses that would prove that God promises guidance for us, and He promised that He's going to lead us. The first one, again, if I may have someone to volunteer, please.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take.
Okay, so He will show us which path to take if we trust in the Lord and ask Him, yeah, and seek His will. Next one.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you.
Okay, so again, the promise is that I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Now, I would like to remind you that it is a good idea to ask God for that, because He can see what we can't see. And it's very important that he would seek His guidance, and that he would be able to lead us, because that's the best option for us. Okay? One more Bible verse for this.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. Okay, so we can see that God gives us plenty of promises for guidance if we seek His guidance, if we seek His will. What happens when things go wrong? Because we probably have experience of that as well, that things just didn't work out as we hoped for. So are we within God's guidance or not when things go wrong? I think it's very important to remember that there are examples in the Bible too when things went very wrong. One of those examples are Joseph in the Bible. Do we remember his story? Mm-hmm. Yeah? He was sold by his own brothers. He became a slave. From slavery he went to prison. He was forgotten there. And he would have said that God doesn't look after me. Yeah? Mm-hmm. He could have said that God left me and He's not guiding me. And still, at the end, God, we know the story that he was lifted up, Joseph was lifted up, and he could, looking back into his life, he could say that you, his brothers, he's talking to his brothers here, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So God could use him even when things looked very bad. Another Bible verse, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. So sometimes we live in a very difficult situation, a very messy, very difficult. Think about the wars, or during the two world wars, or think about now. Okay? So if you think about the political situation, it can be frightening. But at the end, we have the promise that the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. So at the end, whatever God will is, that's what's going to happen on your turn. And one more verse for this, and probably that's my favorite, because it says that whatever happens to us, God can actually put it together and bring out the best of that situation. Romans 8:28 teaches us that, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Even the bad things work together for good. Yeah? For those who are called according to His purpose. I don't know how God does that, but He has His ways and He can bring out the best from complete disasters as well. And as long as we are under His guidance and we seek Him, He has the promise that all things will work out well for us. So we are in safe hands, in God's hands, which is important. Okay, so let's look at the big picture and let's look at what God's plans are for humanity. And I made a little diagram here, so I hope it will come out well. So we think about God's purposes, and this is our world. Okay, so everyone is within God's purpose in this world, even non-believers. Think about examples in the Bible like Silas or the Pharaoh, or lots of people who didn't follow God, but they still had to carry out His purpose in His plan. In the center of God's purpose are those people who actually fully surrendered themselves to God's will. Hopefully, sooner or later, we will get into the center as well. Think about people in the Bible like Daniel or Joseph, or in more modern history like Brother Andrew and so on, who actually really completely committed themselves to God, and that was their most important reason for living, really to carry out God's purpose. So they are in the center. Then there is another circle here, and these are the non-believers. Remember, they are still within God's purpose, but they're not they don't benefit from God's guidance, yeah, not fully at least. So they still have to they still have to take their part in God's plan, whatever it is. God still uses them in His purpose, but they don't benefit from God's guidance. And then overlapping, there is a third circle, and this is where I put most Christians. Yeah, sometimes we are fully surrendered. Other times we swing to the other end and kind of behave like non-believers, especially when things go wrong and we start complaining, oh, what's going to happen, and so on, or rather than remembering that God actually helped us through up to now, He probably has a solution this time as well. So God's plan is to move us closer to the center, yeah, and finally to move us to eternal life. It's very important to understand this, because if we understand this, we understand what God's plan is really in real life. Remember the most important Bible verse? Yeah, John 3:16. That's the center of the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So when we talk about God's plan, I think that's the most important plan. What God wants for us and for anyone who accepts Him and moves to eternal life. So God's ultimate plan is for all people to get to salvation and eternal life. So what about our little plans then? If that's God's plan in our life, that we would get eternal life. And it's a very important plan for all of us. But we still have other little plans as well, which are equally important for us. God has a promise for the little things in life as well. So if you look at what the Bible teaches about it, says that do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and our Heavenly Father knows that you need them. So God knows that our little plans are important as well, that we need them. Maybe not all, but God would decide about which ones are really the ones that benefit us and which ones are not. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's what the Bible teaches us. If we seek His kingdom, He's going to take care of us. And as long as our little wishes and what we are praying for fit into His ultimate plan, He's going to give those ones to us as well. Another verse basically says the same. Look at the birds. They do not need to plant or harvest or put food in barns, because God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to Him than any birds. So we are valuable to God. And He is there to work out our salvation, first of all. And within that, He will give us those things that benefit us, that are important for us. So, when we think about God's plan, we started with the question, if God has a plan for our life or not. Do you think we can say that? Yes, definitely. Do you agree with me on that? Yeah? I do believe that it's true, but we mustn't forget that God's plans for our personal holiness are far superior to our ambition. Yes. Guy John Piper said this, but I think it's very important. God's plans are always higher than ours. We consider only our personal happiness, and we would like to have an easy life. Yeah? If we are to plan our own lives, we probably would plan it considering whatever makes it the easiest for us. And also, basically, we want to be happy, want to have an easy life, we don't want any complications, any difficulties, just we don't really have an idea about what it could harm, or what kind of harm it could cause in us. Yeah, God knows it better. So if you look at God's priority order, then it's exactly the opposite to ours. So God's priority order, first of all, eternal life. God must come first. Next is our spiritual needs. Develop godly, righteous character, very important. And you know how to develop that. It's usually not an easy way then, because it's not our nature. Our nature is the opposite. And God has to allow difficulties in our lives in order to develop the character He wants to see in us, yeah? Because an easy life won't have developing that character. God knows better. So that's the second in His priority order. Then He looks after or looks into our long-term happiness, yeah? And finally, our current happiness, our current situation. For us, the priority order is exactly the opposite, because we are more concerned about the current situation. We want to be happy now. Yeah, and then yes, on our horizon, the long-term happiness is kind of important as well, but the now is the most important for a human being. And if we are happy now and our happiness in long-term is secure, then yeah, maybe we are interested in the spiritual needs as well, but if it's up to us, we probably never would develop the righteous characters, because that doesn't come from easy life. Yeah, it doesn't come from an easy life. In order to do that, God has to lead us through difficulties, hardship. And finally, we want eternal life, but that's so far on our horizon. We don't really, when we make our everyday choices, we think about that probably the last in on our, I won't say that it's lost on our priority list, it is important, but in our daily decisions we consider our current situation more. So, We have to agree that God has a plan in our lives. God has a plan for all of us. But his perspective is much wider than ours. Therefore, sometimes we have to go through difficult times in order to fulfill those higher plans. And finally, to finish with, I would like to read this Bible text again, because it's very important to remember that God says that, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." I pray that God would help us to understand this and help us to trust him enough to put our lives into his hands, trust him enough to seek his guidance, and believe that even when we go through difficult times, he knows what he's doing, he knows what we need to achieve godly righteous character, and we would have the faith to know that God will take care of us in the little things as well as in the big things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.